Is it wrong, Kev, for two men to get together?
Not at all.
Doing a little radio, talk not about life, a little radio, no. Manly things?
No, now that the sun's coming out, I've got hot pants on today. And, well, I think it's nice to wear hot pants. I don't have underpants under hot right. pants, but right. not at all.
Right. Not Kevin Matthews, everybody. How are you, pal?
You know, I couldn't be better. If I would better, I'd burst into flames. I'm fine.
You've got a lot. You got so many spinning plates right now. Just talking on the drive over here today. The big one is this documentary that you're doing, and I love the story, like how it actually happened. Because
I didn't do it.
Yeah, you didn't do it. Yeah, I love how you think about that. But the books came out, and all of a sudden, you know, you are producing this amazing story that's coming out this October.
Yeah. So years ago, I wrote a book.
Yep.
About. I found a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary lying next to a dumpster 10 years ago.
Right.
And so
was it 10 already?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's 10 years.
Yeah.
And what happened was people in the church, basically, I kept her and she's broken. So we're all broken. We're loved by God. And parishioners started to take the statue of Our Lady of the Broken into hospice or... people have died with her. It's just the most broken go.
But let's talk about, like, seriously, I want to go back a little bit because you're getting Deb some flowers.
Yeah, because I just got fired from radio.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I got 2 weeks' notice and severance pay. So it was just like in Goodfellas with Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
What do you mean? 2 weeks' notice. How am I, what are we going to eat?
Yeah.
And I hear a voice. I sense, told you that voice is the Holy Spirit saying, get your wife some flowers. I look up, no coincidence, there's a flower shop.
Did you always buy her flowers when you got fired?
No, she's been a saint, though, because she'd always say, we're going to be okay.
Yeah. You need that as in a partner. Yeah. Absolutely.
Any wife in radio is either evil or great. And she's great. She is. Well. So I got her the flowers, and that's how I found the statue. And what happened, all these people were taking the statue home and writing Father Mark. And so he goes, you ought to write a book. And so we did. Book number one, Broken Mary. That became a bestseller. Then,
which was not just about Mary. It really was your life in radio. Your life in radio.
Stand
both.
Up.
All of it.
When I was born, Pontiac, Michigan, a hellhole that was.
Yeah.
Stand up, how I met my wife. Grand Valley, how I got into radio.
Sure.
I was going to go into education.
Great story. I love the book.
So I loved the book, and then I more continued with, Mary and the Catholic Church. It's grown. I wrote a second book called Mary's Roadie,
right.
And it includes pictures. And I told my publisher, Matthew Kelly, I said, I got to put pictures in this book, otherwise folks aren't going to believe me.
Yeah.
And he did. And now... Years ago, I was speaking way out west here in Illinois, and I ran into Katie and Eric. They ODB Films, and they heard me speak, and they said, wow, that's an interesting, maybe we should do a documentary on brokenness. And that was 6 years later. We just finished that, and I got big news to break with you regarding that. So it wasn't me saying, hey, you should do a documentary about me.
Yeah, no.
How cool I am.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and so here it is.
It'll come out in the Loop documentary, how cool you are.
Well, I hope so. I hope that the Loop documentary comes out. But the bottom line is I cannot believe what has taken place. It was a wrap just a few days ago. We finished it. And do you want me to tell you more about when it's coming now or whatever?
Yeah, I'll imagine. Yeah.
Just, it will come out in October.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you the titles, Broken Mary, coming out in October. And then I want to come back because I want to give you an exclusive beyond that.
Yeah, great.
So
yeah, I'd love to.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. You know, you and I called into your show a lot when I was, just listening to you because I was a huge fan. But I can't remember what it was. It was 2015, 14, 16, something like that, where I saw you being interviewed by, was it Pugsley? Was that like a Grand Park thing or something?
Yes, it was. Pugsley was my producer who left and went down to Dallas and did a podcast, and then he came back up here.
Yeah.
And he had me and Steve Dahl, or me. It was kind of strange.
Yeah, no, it was interesting. It was a great interview. Yeah.
And it was right out at Grant Park, and all these people. And, yeah, that's – I made a public appearance there.
Yeah.
That was a bizarre afternoon. I mean, it was just
– It was, but it got my attention. I was like, I've never talked to Kev, like, on the air before. Right. And I knew I had my best of Jim Shorts and best of Kevin Matthews tapes from the old Loop store that I had somebody convert here for me, and I sent them to you. I'm like – This is like radio gold, and we played a lot of it, and we chanted for like an hour and a half.
Well, you've been very kind.
No,
you've been very kind because, you know, I was, you know, you want to get some attention because I was on a great team. You had Brandmeier in the morning or Stephen Gary, and they were always getting the press, and then Howard Stern comes in, and it was like, what about me?
Yeah.
You know, I'm screaming for attention, you know, and if,
I don't think Howard got as much press as you did.
No, and so, Howard, you know, Howard, it just didn't work here in Chicago.
No, and I lived in New York, and I loved listening to him there. Just there was too much other good things to listen to in Chicago radio.
Yeah, and he came in like dissing Chicago, and it's like, no, don't do that.
No, but I've got your because you have been nominated to the Radio Hall of Fame, and this is what's really cool is. This year, there's three nominees from Chicago, and it's you, it's Stroud, and it's our own Bob Surratt here.
Yes.
All of you legends in this business for different reasons.
Can I say all three, Bob Surratt, Bob Stroud, and me, all three should enter the Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned. I worked with Bob, both Bobs. They're well-deserving. They played more music than I did, but then Bob, you know, you've got Bob here at WGN in the morning. He's not playing music. He's...
But he even said to me when I talked to him the other day, he said, you know, he did radio and then he left for television and then he came back to radio and, you know, but you guys, all three of you, and, you know, people don't understand this, like the Radio Hall of Fame, and I chair the Broadcast Museum, so that's part of the Radio Hall of Fame, is that we got 2,500 submissions because you have to think about the fact that right now, today, there's still a little over 15,000 radio stations in this country. And before that, it was 24,000. It was whatever it was, because every small market had their local radio host.
Exactly.
And that's what they did. But when you narrow down, take that 2,500 submissions and narrow it down first to a couple hundred, then 100, then to 24 people, that's and it is an honor itself.
Oh, yeah, there's no question.
Yeah.
No, I'm very honored. I'm very, you know, I would love to, and I always have said this, and this is one of the reasons I want to get in, is just to thank the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Without
yeah.
them, I'm nothing. But at the same time, Chicago and what we did, I started laughing because, you know, how many people, Kev Heads would call and give me phone numbers.
Yeah.
One guy called and said, I've got the code number, call in at O'Hare Airport. Here is the United Terminals intercom.
Mm-hmm.
I did. So I took over the.
I just got it.
I took over the whole intercom of the United Airlines. And it was so funny because, you know, we're just goofing on it. And of course, Jim Shorts has gas. And
really?
So he put the phone up to his little speaker, butt speaker. But just the things we did.
Yeah. You were out of all three, and you know, it was Brandmeier, Stephen Gary, and you were the kid to me that wanted to do like kind of the naughty stuff. Like you were gonna and you wanted to get caught.
Big time. Dave, we used to I cannot believe we didn't kill somebody. Every once in a while, every Friday or every other Friday, we would take a blow-up doll and attach helium balloons plus more helium, and we wrote on it, if you find this blow-up doll, call the Loop Radio, Kevin, and then we would launch them right outside the Hancock Building. Those things were in a flight pattern with O'Hare and Midway.
Oh my gosh.
And somebody did find a inflatable doll down in Kentucky, and we gave him $500.
I love it. More with Kevin Matthews coming up after the news next. All right, we are talking to radio legend Kevin Matthews, nominated to the Radio Hall of Fame, along with Bob Stroud, Bob Surratt. You know, people know you here in Chicago from Chicago Radio and The Loop.
Yep.
And CKG, but you started off obviously in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
And then St. Louis before you got here.
I was going to college. That's where I met my wife.
Yeah.
And what my roommate, you know, I took a year off out of high school, and I was in sports. I was in the Marine Corps training program. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to go and become a drill instructor into the Marine Corps. I blew my knee out. I didn't want to go to college. I went to Grand Valley or this college in my Volkswagen. I go, no, I got a party. So I party. I literally yeah. did for a year.
Yeah.
And then I went to Grand Valley. I met Debbie, but I was going to go into education. But this med student, Doug, in my dorm
I remember room, talking about Doug.
And he, first of all, I'm in my room, and here, okay, there's a guy here named Doug. He's got three gigantic pot plants growing in his closet.
Yeah.
But then he does a radio show, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, followed him once to the radio
station. It goes together.
Well, honestly, and the radio station was a 10-watt radio station, but it was the most incredible radio station ever. And the professor who was in charge of the radio station, the professor, he used to drop acid and do these shows for 3 days. He would build synthesizers, bring birds in and on acid. One time.
Would my show be better if I did that before a show?
No. This guy was such a.
Okay.
Just asking.
And one night, the program director couldn't do the show because he smoked pot laced with paraquat. Nixon did all these Mexican, you know, marijuana fields. They poisoned him, and he couldn't speak, and he almost got throat cancer.
Whatever. Yeah.
Hey, do you want to do a jazz show? So I went down. I don't know how to run the equipment. I pull out a Miles Davis, you know, Coltrane, and I'm doing jazz. And now all of a sudden I can wait. They can't see me. Now I can start playing with these people, you know.
Yeah.
And it was incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I think I said I was a jazz player. Welcome to the jazz show hour. Yeah. You know.
You're a man of a million voices.
I just got out of jail, and I used to play with Miles Davis. I would give him his mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved radio, so I just stayed in radio.
Yeah.
Then I got hired down in St. Louis. I stayed there for 9 months.
Yeah.
That place was that was the worst radio station. And the reason...
You do mornings there? Is that what you do? Mornings.
Nobody listened to it. Yeah, the station. Okay. Nobody. Here's one time. And before I go down, I'm watching an Elvis special, and you see this fat white guy breaking these Sun 78s, going rock and roll has got to go on KWQ KWK,
yeah,
because of Elvis or I don't know what he did. And I'm like, I'm working there. It was the worst. One time,
was he doing his own little disco demolition on rock and roll?
No, he was. How dare Elvis did something? I don't know. Oh, it was such a stupid station. Yeah, right. One time, I had to do. They have a custard ice cream or whatever that.
Yeah, frozen custard.
So I was going to do a remote broadcast. Yeah. It was hot. Not one person showed up.
Oh,
not one. And then I started sending stuff to Stephen Gary, audios to Stephen, saying, please get me out of here.
Yeah.
And I would do it as Reagan. I would send Steve Reagan stuff, Ron Reagan, and they finally hired me.
Were they doing, WLS then probably at the time, if you were getting the 50,000 watts down there, no?
Well, no, they were on the loop FM.
They were
FM,
okay.
On the FM. And so when we came up here, and then Jimmy DeCastro and everybody buys the AM 1000, moves the entire city. Because AM, you know, that's your parents or grandparents. We moved a whole culture.
Yeah.
Over to AM.
Yeah, yeah. Well, GN, I mean, this is an iconic station where there's many people that were in FM radio at some point. You know, Landecker and Lisa, US 99. Yeah. Everybody had like an FM background.
This is a historic station. Yeah. I love this station.
Yeah. But then, so they hired you. How did you get hired in the radio station to have your own show? Because you started at night, right?
Well, yeah, because we only have the FM. And so I came up, they just hired me just to put this guy, you know, it's kind of like a baseball, just put him in the dugout, just keep him here for a while. Anyways, then they open up AM 1000, and I was working the program director, Greg Salk, at the time, which you don't use the word genius often, but what he did to radio and Steve and Gary in the afternoons, Johnny, they decided to put me on overnights. on AM 1000. Mm-hmm. That's 32 states in Canada.
Yeah, it's 50,000 watts. Yeah.
And that's where I could just make mistakes, do yes. whatever, and then all of a sudden it was Johnny in the Morning, me midday, Steve and Gary, the Chicago Bulls with Chet
yeah.
Kopic.
Yeah.
You couldn't touch us.
That's right. That's
10
right.
million people a week.
Yeah, it's crazy. Listen. That's crazy when you think about
it. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Have
that's
you
crazy
been drinking?
When
I spell beer.
No, it's crazy.
You have to drink to do these shows.
A little bit, yeah. little bit, but that's wild to me. I mean, that is wild. And then you did Loop, and then you were yeah. you did WXCD, you did LSFM, you did WCKG.
The Loop, are you kidding me? They said we're going to go sports.
Yeah,
they've never recovered.
No.
And I mean, fine. Yeah. Then I got hired over at CBS because Steve
that,
and Gary had broken up.
Yeah,
Steve's
what?
Over there. Oh yeah, Steve's over there. You're yeah. Opie and Anthony are over there, and that was Jeff Schwartz.
Yeah,
it was the PD, and we still had fun. I think I was doing some of the best radio there.
Yeah.
At CBS.
Okay,
and then that all went south, and then I got hired at ABC,
mm-hmm.
and ABC had just all the money in the world, sent us around the world. Remember when Y2K happened?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kevin was going to go around the world. I did 28. Days, 7 continents, and wherever I was, like
yeah.
if I'm in Bangkok, you went a trip to Bangkok,
yeah.
Japan, whatever. It was awesome. And then we were number one
yeah.
for 5 years, men, 25-54.
Yeah, that's hard to get.
And they decided, we're going to flip the format. We're going to let you go.
Yeah.
Oh,
what?
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then I got fired from radio, and then Steve Dahl, he picked up a phone and said, hey, I'm starting this podcast network. Mm-hmm. Come on over. And Steve hired me and saved me.
Yeah.
Financially, whatever. I mean, plus yeah. I could, for 6 years, I was on the Steve Dahl podcast network.
The voices. Where, like, how did that
the
come
voices,
about? Like, yeah.
The voices go back to when I got my first commercial radio job in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I just, I needed a voice.
Is that LAB?
Yes.
Okay.
It was a great underground rock radio mm-hmm. station. I mean, the people that founded that, fantastic. Ed Buchanan, Eris Hampers. And so I needed a voice in case I wanted to do something, I could blame it on the voice, Jim Shorts.
Of course.
So Jim, you know, and John Shepard, the general manager, who is that guy? And I go, oh, it's Jim. What's he doing? Yeah, he's our sports. Well, tell him to knock it off, you know, da, da, da. And I kept going.
Yeah.
We had one of the highest rated morning shows. And before I went to St. Louis, Jim Shorts gave John Shepard's office furniture away.
Wow.
Now, remember, if it's a contest, you got to go through with it because the FCC will take
yeah.
your license away.
Yeah.
He had to give his office furniture to a listener who just took it and then burned it. How awesome is that?
My God. You know what's funny? Radio guys, like from even the 60s, 70s, mm-hmm. 80s, 90s, it was always a fight with management.
Well,
management was always part of the conversation on the phone. Management here, our leadership is Mary Boyle.
Yeah.
Mary interned.
I know.
On the Kevin Matthews show,
I know,
right?
She did. And
we just saw her a little while ago.
I just saw her. That's how come. I mean, she's just, look where she's at now.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
And just very smart, and she knows radio. But, you know, you take somebody like, that's how come before I got into radio, I would listen to like Landecker or especially Lou Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Lou Jack hated the management.
Yes.
And he let everybody
yeah.
know.
He let everybody know.
And I go, I got to do that because it's true. They can be venomous snakes. The stupidest people have been program directors
yeah.
that are so awful, they yeah. can't do a show themselves, so
yeah.
they become program directors.
Yeah.
They're really sick. I know the majority of program directors are really serial killers. Seriously. No, I'm mean.
Yeah, yeah.
They're evil people that
yeah.
live with their mom, and they just are sick, useless people.
Okay. Okay, great. All right, we're talking to radio legend Kevin Matthews. There's more with him next on 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Plyer, Kevin Matthews in studio. So I want to talk to you a little bit about Steve McMichael and his passing.
Yeah.
You know, the Bears, when in when you were on the Loop in Chicago, they were on your show all the time. I felt they were actually regulars. You hung out with these guys all the time. Talk a little bit about that dynamic and Steve.
Everybody listened to AM 1000, including the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
And if you just did. And so I really got close to Kevin Butler. And then Kevin Butler was very close to McMichael, then McMahon, and just everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. Tom Thayer, everybody. And one time I went up to do my show in Wisconsin when they were at training camp.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's right. And I had all these listeners up, and I had these guys in wedding dresses hitting the tackle sleds.
Yeah.
And just we were just, and Tom Thayer was there, and Butthead's there. And it was just noisy, loud party. Ditka, in his golf cart, comes over. He knows who I am. He said, Kevin, get your ass out of my camp in Wisconsin. Oh. Now.
Hmm.
Boom. And well, that ended. But even Mike and Diana with Misericordia or whatever, I always helped them.
Yeah.
And Steve McMichael was a giant who I was thinking about this. I love Steve, and
he's a gentle giant.
He's a gentle giant. Yeah. And before he got diagnosed, he really did literally, he became very faithful. And he really became faithful. Then he got hit with ALS. And, how many years he just, that was torture.
Yeah.
But the thing about Steve, I was thinking this the other day, I never wanted to be around Steve on game day. He would kill me or anybody.
Mm-hmm.
When
Hampton and OB are here the game in the boardroom and you're eating the food, I remember bringing my youngest son here into the hallway. You really can't do that here because of the words and the language that are flying
the best
around
radio show is Hamp and Obradovich.
Yeah.
Every time, again, when the Bears were really bad just a few years ago, in OB's throwing chairs, I'm like, this is the best show.
Passion.
I love it.
100% passion.
I really wish Jim Shorts has got to get on that show because I'm telling you, I'm living over in Michigan.
That. Yeah.
And you got a great coach from the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, you said this. Yeah, talk a little bit about that.
I'm telling you, folks.
By the way, Mary said you were Barstool Sports. Jimmy was before Barstool Sports existed.
I believe that.
Yeah, I like that.
There's no question.
Yeah.
But there's something about, I love this guy because he comes from, Campbell is such a player, and he's great. Mentally strong. I bet the first thing coach does is, just tells you got a winner there. No nail polish.
Yes.
You didn't earn that?
Distracting.
What is that?
I don't know.
What's the nail polish? He's going to say, take that off.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you what, he's going to hold everybody accountable. He's going to push. He's going to get two quarterbacks in.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in twos that can take your job.
Yeah, I like
that. He's a really smart Greg coach.
I know Jimmy's hanging out, chomping at the bit, trying to get on the mic here. Jimmy, are you doing your pigskin picks this coming season?
Well, do you know anybody from Barstool Sports? No, seriously. I got to talk to Mary. I got to get on that
Portnoy
platform.
I got to get to him.
I love him because he's angry. He's an angry Jew. Angry.
Even when he's doing pizza reviews, he's ticked
angry.
Off.
Yes, and I like it.
Yeah.
Anybody out there, I need to get somebody at Barstool Sports.
Yeah, well, you're on WGN Radio right now, which is probably the biggest you've ever gone. So, what do you think about you're going to do this again? Because you did pretty well in the last couple of years your picks.
All my picks.
Yeah?
I'm the best.
Okay.
I'm the best, really, when you think about it. ESPN sucks. Why am I not on the air? No, I have better picks than everybody.
Lisa Dench said she wants you on the show to talk about
it. Well, it'd be nice.
Yeah,
and it'd be nice if I could get, $20 an episode. Do you realize how much it costs to get an Uber down here?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to come down here?
Yeah.
It's going to cost $3,000 in expenses to get on.
I don't think she actually wants you in studio, though.
Oh, I'd like to be in studio with her. I mean, she's hot.
But I would say that's probably not going to happen. So what's going on with the casino? Anything
new? I got a casino on Beaver Island, and I've had it for like 5 years.
Yeah.
Come on up. It's good. It's nice. Hey, do you know?
Yeah.
Is Robin Baumgarten, you know, I've always loved her.
She's remarried. So what you're going to ask, Jimmy?
Is she having troubles in the marriage?
That's right. No, no.
I can't believe she got married.
Yeah, no.
And I could have.
I think
she and I could have.
I think she thinks that too, but that ship has sailed.
So really, they like each other?
I think they do.
Crap.
Kevin, what are you doing in town? So you've got.
No, I'm just honestly.
It's Friday night. You're doing this with me. But what else are you doing here throughout?
I'm leaving tomorrow because I got to get home for Mother's Day.
Yeah. That's right, Mother's Day weekend. I'm leaving to go pick up my. After the show, actually, I'm going to start driving to SIU to pick up my daughter from school.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yeah.
One of the guys I worked with, Ed Buchanan.
Yeah.
Ed was iconic, and he started this underground rock radio station.
Yeah.
But he would always say, Debbie, my wife, who I've been married now 43 years.
Wow.
She's an angel.
Wow.
He goes, what are you getting her a present? She is not your mother.
Well, and that's a good point. Mother of your kids. You know,
well, they can get her a present, right? I mean, how much should you spend on your wife? Because you're just going to get a frying pan. And don't, here, guys, don't go to Meijer and pick up some flowers and a card.
They're half dead.
They know right away that you don't love.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you unwrap them and wrap them yourself and put them in a face. Maybe
not. But when you see a Meijer receipt, how much did you spend on your mom?
Back in the day, she's gone. I would buy her flowers. It was usually a dinner. She liked being with the family, so I would always buy dinner for
sister,
her kids. Yeah, we'd go to Gibson's, actually.
Really?
She loved going out and having
Gibson's?
A nice day. She loved it. She'd call me when I would be on my way home from work, and she'd be like, are you passing by Gibson's? Because they have the lobster bisque today.
And they know the Heimlich maneuver. Could we go to Gibson's just in case I choke? They know the Heimlich maneuver.
It was always about dinner, is getting the family together. So that's kind of how we celebrated.
I've always wondered, I've never had anybody witness anybody that's choking on a steak. Does the help, the maitre d' come out with a plastic card on how to do the Heimlich? And he's
you got to be trained for that.
Let's see, take her blouse off. Push your throat. You know?
The only time I saw somebody choking on a steak was Chris Farley as one of the Bears on SNL.
The best. When he's choking, and then a big chunk comes out. Yeah.
It was the whole steak.
The whole steak, and he wrapped it to go, to take back.
Yeah, he went and took it with him. He'd eat it later.
You know, I saw somebody ask, and he was in character, hey, do you drink in the morning? And Chris goes, well, normally I don't wake up until noon, and then I drink. He was much funnier at it, but I miss Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Boy, did we party.
Yeah, I bet. He was in there. He lived in the Hancock,
he was. When he passed, I'm downstairs doing morning. Chris was the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Love seeing you, brother.
I love seeing you. And
glad you're here.
Do anything. I got to get in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Let's come back a couple other times this summer. Let's talk about the documentary next time you're in town.
I got a big announcement about the documentary. And good luck to Stroud. And good luck to
Surratt. Yeah.
Because I love those guys, and I think all three ought to go.
Ditto.
It's in Chicago.
It's in Chicago this year.
And you're the best, and I hear you're getting married.
I am getting married. Get the Catholic Church moving on those annulments, will you, please?
Okay. Well, but you got to let me know way in advance.
Yeah, we'll do.
Unless you don't want me to come.
No, I absolutely want you there.
Good.
All right, brother. All right. Kevin Matthews, everybody. All right, top stories from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom are next here on 720 WGN.